With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
First round fundamentals. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P. Joe Pizzapia with me today. Big Pod Energy himself, Mr. Andrew Erickson. Derek Brown, a.k.a. D-Bro, a.k.a. the King of Bros, is with us as well. And today is a fantastic show, as always, here at Fantasy Pros, because today it's about diving deep into the first round. We're going to give you draft advice. How do we approach these top 12 players? Who are the players that should be in the top 12 that maybe aren't, who might be next year, and a real deep dive understanding when to take which guy in which format, the whole thing, it's all here. And some people say that you can win a draft in your first round. Some people say you could lose a draft. Some people say it doesn't matter what your first round pick is. Some people say they see Derek Brown in the bushes at Russell Gage's house. Some people say a lot of things. We're going to try to give you answers to at least some of those questions today. Derek Brown, by the way, I'm glad you were able to get all of those leaves out of your beard before the show.
I mean, if we're just keeping it 100 here, Russell Gage has a third floor apartment, so it makes it a little bit tricky, and the ladder has to go up, just saying. Not that I know, but I know. Mm-hmm. But we probably need to transition to other topics, so
I see.
You know, I don't get legalities and troubles and things of that nature, but still, love Russell Gage.
Yeah, and if you're watching on the YouTube channel, which you should be, you could see a little bit of ornamental drapery behind my good friend Andrew Erickson, thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction, a little Gabriel Davis jersey here. You're gonna wear that around the house on Sundays, my friend?
Only if the Bills beat the Patriots, and then I'll rock some Gabriel Davis, but I can't ever show my parents this jersey. They would disown me if I showed them that I had a Bills jersey. But I will let everyone know that my track record of purchasing jerseys and the players' performance that year are not great. So I may have just solved the Gabriel Davis debate right here and there by buying this jersey. So we'll see how it shakes out.
Thanks for the heads up. So now we've cleared that up.
Yeah.
ADP is dropping. Derek, let's get our rankings up right now and start to make some adjustments right now. Way to ruin nice things, Erickson. But speaking of giveaways and speaking of Pristine Auction, we have a giveaway right now at fantasypros.com/contest. We have a CD Lamb jersey that we're going to make sure we keep far, far away from Andrew Erickson. But we want to give it to you. And all you have to do is subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/fantasypros. Right now on our YouTube channel, every single podcast you know is going to be on there already. We have an amazing grouping of videos. You could just do that rabbit hole, go down and understand all the videos we've got. I'm telling you right now, whether it be our favorite players, our least favorite players, who's going to be the next RB1, I'm telling you, it is fantastic. It's a great way to prepare. If you've got some downtime, just go through the rabbit hole of videos we have at fantasypros.com. We've also got some fun, entertaining reels with the young people like Tara Roberts and Andrew Erickson doing fun things, and Ryan Warmly also. So check that out. And when you subscribe and click that little bell till it goes ding on the notifications, then you can go ahead and enter our contest to get that CD Lamb autographed jersey from pristineauction.com. Again, all the details at fantasypros.com/contest. That's where you can get it all. And our YouTube channel, I mean, I'm telling you, we got the live streams on Sundays. We got so much going on there. So you're just crazy if you're playing fantasy football and you're not subscribing to the YouTube channel. Plus, you get to see all the leaves in Derek Brown's beard whenever he is stalking Russell Gage. But let's get to it. Let's start talking a little bit about the first round. And we're going to start with the consensus. half PPR. Okay. And right now, it's a pretty easy consensus. If you go to Yahoo, Fantrax, you know, anywhere, Sleeper, they all have the same thing. Jonathan Taylor is the one. We've all come to this consensus. All of us agree. And last year, the consensus one was Christian McCaffrey. Everybody went just back into the pool. No debates, really, people wanted to have. That didn't go well. This seems like a very warm, comfy, cozy blanket. Andrew Erickson, is Jonathan Taylor indeed that? Is he the one guy that you can say, yep, that's the guy, bar none, I want to start all of my leagues with? I don't see any downside. He's the dude.
Yeah, I think that you hit the key word there, the downside. You know, where is the downside with Jonathan Taylor? I really don't think there really is any downside. I think that he's the safest, securest pick that you can make in your fantasy football drafts, and that's why he's going at the 101. Now, does that guarantee that he's going to be the number one running back finisher? No, it doesn't. But you don't necessarily need to draft the number one finishing running back at the number one spot. You want to draft a running back that gives you the best chance of finishing top three or top five, or of being a guy that's going to be there for you the entire way. And Jonathan Taylor, we talk about injuries for these all of these running backs, especially some of these older guys. Jonathan Taylor has had massive workloads dating back to Wisconsin and has basically never missed games. Like, he's always been able to carry the work. He's still young, and there's no reason to think that his red zone usage role is going to go away. If anything, you have Matt Ryan in there who will probably check the ball down more. So there's actually a case for some upside with Jonathan Taylor. You look at his season last year, and from like a fantasy points per game per like basis, it wasn't like outlandish or historic in any way. So there's always a chance too that Jonathan Taylor just does exactly what he did last year. Maybe he's not RB1 because someone overtakes him, but he's still super rock solid, the top three running back. Or there's a case that he gets even better. You know, Nyheim Hines goes down. You know, he catches 90 passes. You know, who is catching passes behind Michael Pittman? So I really can't find the argument for downside when I can find a couple avenues where, okay, we could see him in an extended passing game. We could see the offense score more points. Oh, and that's going to benefit him in both cases. So yeah, I have Taylor at one, and I'm not going to move him.
All right, Derek, 2019 Saquon Barkley was taken first overall. He finishes RB11 that year. CMC in 2020, taken first overall. He finishes RB50. We know what happened there. He played only three games last year. CMC was number one. He finished, obviously, as RB37, playing just seven games. So is RB1 or the number one overall pick as simple as it appears this year? Do you think it was just those guys and those specific circumstances with the tread on their tires from the previous season that was the big concern? And if that's the case, should we be concerned about the tread on Jonathan Taylor's tires after last year?
I mean, I'm not so concerned about Jonathan Taylor. I think the 101, I mean, I'll push back a little bit. I mean, I haven't shared y'all's ranks yet today, but CMC's still my 101, guys. I mean, I knew we were probably going to disagree about this, but I think looking at having that first overall pick and some of what that allows you, and Andrew hit the nail on the head. Taylor didn't have this otherworldly season. Like, you look at last year, he averaged 22 fantasy points per game in PPR settings. Like, that's not world beater giving you this massive edge. Now, Christian McCaffrey, on the other hand, does have that type of otherworldly, league-winning type of upside. Maybe if we see more usage for Taylor in the passing game, maybe that happens. But if you really go and dive into it, Jonathan Taylor wasn't even the RB1 last year in points per game. It was Derrick Henry. So even looking at it per points per game standing, this really comes down to if you have the 101 or you're looking at that top, trying to get the edge. This is really a conversation around Christian McCaffrey, guys. I mean, I'd love to be wrong here, but looking at a player that over the last 2 years, when he's played 49% or higher of the snaps, he's averaging freaking 26 PPR points per game. That is what you're talking about, challenging to be the league winner, the difference maker. Like, that was Cooper Kupp type of status. Like, Cooper Kupp was the CMC of wide receivers last year. He basically never had a bad game. He was league winning. He was the difference maker. And to me, I'm going to go back to the well with CMC, and that's kind of where I'm at. So it's not so much like Jonathan Taylor concerns. It's just that if he doesn't get a massive uptick in the passing game, I don't see him as like being that type of league winning type of back. Although I think he's going to have a really, really good season.
Well, it's so interesting is you have the number one guy that's pretty much the consensus. But then after that, it is all over the place in terms of who wants to rank who where, which we don't always get. Sometimes you get like a good consensus, three guys, maybe five. Everybody knows how I see the board. I like Jonathan Taylor, and then give me the wide receivers, and then we can start hammering out these running backs and try to, you know, discuss how we feel about them. But obviously I'm in a whole different universe there. But the next guy, believe it or not, on the consensus, again, this is a consensus in ADP, is Austin Eckler. He's going two overall. He has some issues there, obviously, in terms of some health concerns. He did miss some time last year, smaller player. Christian McCaffrey is at the three. Obviously, we know how you feel. You want to put McCaffrey over everybody. But why do you think people are taking Derek Brown, Austin Eckler, or at least perceive his value to be higher than Christian McCaffrey? Is it just the injury risk of McCaffrey? And are people not taking account enough, maybe, the injury risk of Eckler?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's they've been burned by CMC in two straight seasons. The other part of this is they just saw Eckler go out and just set the league on fire last year. And if we want to take a more of a macro approach, the Chargers have a better offense, hands down, even with Baker and Carolina, things like that. So it's a lot of different factors. But again, we're talking about outliers. I like Eckler a lot, but the way that I'm projecting the Chargers, that's still really spicy. And this is not shade at Eckler. I like him a lot, but taking him even that high, and this maybe I'm just showing my hand. I'm a little bit too much Isaiah Spiller love, but I think he's going to factor into this backfield. And for all the great things that Austin Eckler did last year, pass game, red zone usage, opportunity share, Isaiah Spiller could cut into all of that this year. So I think it's a little bit twofold as far as why Eckler is as high as he is and why CMC is not the 101.
All right, Erickson, let's talk about the number two and three spots and how you feel. Is there somebody else you want to put ahead of these guys? Because right now it says Eckler, McCaffrey. Is that the way you have them ranked also?
No, I do not have it. I have McCaffrey at two, and then I actually have Dalvin Cook at three. Because
Me the Dalvin Cook argument over Eckler, because that is really the conversation. Which, by the way, for the record, I agree with that statement that you just made.
Love that.
Well, it's because people are, or the consensus, I should say, is chasing last year's touchdowns, when that is shown to be a very bad approach to fantasy drafting. You don't chase the guy that scored 20 touchdowns last year, who now may have a limited workload with another running back added to the fold. Like, last year was the year to have Eckler. If you missed out on it, sorry. You got to move on. And that's why he's being ranked so high. Last year was not the year to have Dalvin Cook. He didn't score a lot of touchdowns. Now he's cheap because he didn't score a lot of touchdowns, and he still has the same goal line role. So I just see them in reverse. Like, last year, who were we talking about at the 102? Dalvin Cook. Like, he was the consensus 102. What's different about the Vikings besides the fact that Cook's a year older and their offense is probably going to be way better? Like, that's like really what's changed. You know, Dalvin Cook is still
going to... Well, it was a weird year too, Andrew, for touchdowns, because he went from 13 in 2019, 17 in 2020 to just six last year. I mean, that just seems absurd.
Exactly. Incredibly unlucky. So if I'm going to push my chips in on, okay, you know, who's primed for touchdown regression here in a way that I want to catch the upswing, it's Dalvin Cook. Whereas on the reverse, it's like, Eckler scored 20 touchdowns last year, eight of which were through the air. Like, that is such a hard thing to repeat. I think only Marshall Faulk is the only guy that's ever been able to do it in two different seasons with Austin Eckler. So that's the game I'm playing. Now, you have to be a little disciplined when you're talking about the guys at the top. Obviously, all of these guys are going to be putting up 15, 16, 17 fantasy points per game. Like, they're not going to be, Eckler's not going to be, oh, he's horrible. It's like, no, he's still going to be good, but you have to tell me, I've got to pick holes in their games and their projections. It's like, Eckler's not going to score the touchdowns this year. Dalvin Cook will, based on the fact that it was reversed last year. So that's why I have Cook at three over Eckler.
I mean, even if you just gave Dalvin Cook another six touchdowns, they gave him 12, which would have been less than he had in 2019. So that would have been still a disappointment, quote unquote, from the 17 he had in 2020. That's 36 more fantasy points. That's a lot. That's a big difference. I mean, he finishes RB15. If you gave Dalvin Cook 36 more points, I mean, it's a big difference of where he finishes. I mean, that's huge. And not to mention, he did miss a few games as well last year, which brings us now to the next guy who missed almost half a season. But even when he was out, he was still RB1 for most of it, which was stunning and told you how great he was. It's Derrick Henry at number four on our hit list here in the hit parade of first round guys. And Derrick Henry was on pace for another monstrous season. And I understand it was a foot issue. He did come back at the end of the year. So in eight games, 937 yards. He had 11 touchdowns. even though he only played 8 games, he still finishes RB14 and half PPR, which you can argue, well, it's because all the guys got hurt and all the issues, and that's why he was still there. But I don't care, man. That is incredible 8-game span of what he was doing last year. So, Andrew, Derrick Henry right now has, again, probably a little bit less appeal in some of those PPR leagues, which I always disagree with personally. Yards are yards, touchdowns are touchdowns. He gets both of those. He is the offense. He is the focal point. He is ranked at number 4 right now. Do you think that's correct? Do you think that's too high, too low? Where do you stand on Derrick Henry?
I think that it's too high, personally. I mean, he's an area where I have him ranked where I'm not going to get him if his overall ADP is 4th. It's because he's not a running back that's used in all facets of the game. Like, we're still waiting on him to see a role as a receiver. I'm concerned about the Titans offense as a whole. And, you know, now he's coming off an injury. Like, that's the one thing. There are so many holes I can poke into the Derrick Henry profile. And the argument against him is, oh, well, he's a unicorn. He's going to touch the ball 30 times a game. It's like, okay, maybe he does. But how long is he going to do that? Like, last year when he was touching the ball 30 times a game, he didn't make it for the rest of the season. Like, fair. That's a fact. And this is the first time he's coming into a season where he came off a season-ending injury. I know he came back at the end of the playoffs, mm-hmm. but still he missed the majority of the fantasy season.
But also you've got Christian McCaffrey, who for 2 years was coming off an injury. But we all feel warm and fuzzy. Derek has him at 1. You have him at 2. Yet Derrick Henry, who missed half a season last year and did come back and play, still finished as the 9th running back with all of that, has all the touches we want, has all the touchdown equity we want, controls the offense. Why does he not get love at 6'3", 247, but Christian McCaffrey gets all of our love at, what, 5'10", and 215? Like, I don't understand. I'm trying to explain that to me because I keep having a hard time wrapping my mind around why we're so forgiving as an analyst community about Christian McCaffrey's flaws, but not Derrick Henry's 1.
Well, I think it goes back to the way that they are used. So McCaffrey doesn't, he's not taking carries up the middle and grinding in between the tackles. Like, he's catching passes. Like, it's so easy for him to get fantasy points, whereas Derrick Henry, look at how he scores his fantasy points. He needs, like, these long 80-yard touchdown runs. You go into the first half, Derrick Henry is 15 carries for 40 yards. You're like, where are my fantasy points? Like, where are they? Whereas McCaffrey, on one drive, doesn't even have to score a freaking touchdown. He gets 15 fantasy points. So, for me, it's the way that they're used, and when you're catching passes, you know, that's why receivers don't get hurt as much as running backs do, because the way that they're used in their offense, they're out in space. They're not jammed in between the tackles like Derrick Henry is. So me, that's the way I view it.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Air Medcare Network. Are you prepared if the unthinkable happens? Let's talk about the best defense for the unexpected, because if a medical emergency does arise, Air Medcare Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today and never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind for you and your family. Memberships cost as little as $85 a year for your entire household, and right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you'll get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership today. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code FANTASYPROS, that's one word, FANTASYPROS. No matter where you are in the game of life, an Air Medcare Network membership is a protection no one should live without, so visit once again airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the promo code FANTASYPROS today. Now, back to the action.
All right, Derek Brown, I know you probably, your Derrickson is against me today. I could feel it already, which is good. It makes for a good show. I love this. So, Andrew tried to tell me, well, because he's running through the tackles, and I think he's running over the tackles. So to me, you know, I think it's more the other people are afraid of Derrick Henry. I think he is the unicorn. Where do you have Derrick Henry? I know you have him after Christian McCaffrey and clearly after Jonathan Taylor. So where do you have Derrick Henry ranked currently in first round?
He is he's not even in my first round. He's not in my top 12.
Now come on.
He's not. I have wide receivers over him that make it into the top 12.
He is. Wait a minute. So explain to me, make the argument of these guys that you have at the bottom of this first round that you have over Derrick Henry.
Okay. So there is a laundry list of guys that I will take over Derrick Henry. Now, Andrew laid out a really good case of why I'm not in on Derrick Henry. And yes, it's a lot of this is archetype. A lot of this is usage. I mean, and Joe, let's go back. Let's rewind while I'm waiting for my ranks to load so I can fight you on the players.
It's called a filibuster.
So, yeah, exactly. This is a filibuster. This is a professional filibuster. Okay. Derrick Henry last year with this legendary volume averaged 24.2 fantasy points per game. Now, we're talking about legendary, historic type of volume where he was just gobbling up touches, was on pace to just
break records. That's two less than the Christian McCaffrey number that you thought was so fantastic, right? You said it was 26 for McCaffrey, if memory serves. I got a good memory. Yep. 26. Okay, so we're only 2 points behind. Okay, continue.
But you look at how his usage and that type of historic volume only got him up to 24.2 points per game. You go back to the previous season, Joe, the dude ran for over 2,000 yards and he still wasn't even the RB1 overall. That was Alvin Kamara, who used in the same type of profile and archetype as Christian McCaffrey. And he got into the 25 per game range, 25.2. You go back and you look at what is going to make these running backs league winning types, and not just 24, but 25, 26. Hell, CMC in 2019, 29.5 points per game. Todd Gurley the year before that, 26 points per game. They need the pass game usage to get there. Now, as far as like my top 12 and the guys that I have over him, obviously I have Travis Kelce. I have Davante Adams, over him, Stephon Diggs. I even have CeeDee Lamb over him, who, if you're looking at the type of, wide receiver I want to be heavy in, where there's diminished target competition around him, really fast paced offense, really good quarterback who could be this year's Cooper Kupp. I want to be above market consensus on that guy, and market is really high on him. Other players going down the list here. I know you're going to fight back on this when I'm going to mention the name. AJ Brown, I've got above Derrick Henry.
Oh, God, stop it. On what? Ridiculous.
I knew it. I was trying to gaslight you with
the Philadelphia Eagles. Yes, the arm of Jalen Hurts for the 1,500 yards of AJ Brown's going to have. You want to talk about a guy who's got to do it all by himself and on his own? Holy crap. You're going to have to throw him a 3-yard pass, and everything's going to have to be A.J. Brown running through. How dare you do Derrick Henry dirty by mentioning Alvin Kamara finishing one that year? He had 21 touchdowns, 5 in one game that year, too, might I add, which is, I mean, talk about a fluky, silly thing. And he still finished, like, what, a couple points. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. What's the one thing Derrick Henry's always doing? Playing games, getting you a very high floor, a pretty darn good ceiling last time I checked, just 2 points from your best friend, Christian McCaffrey, in that span. He said, Christian McCaffrey's so great, 26. And then, oh, this poor lonely Derrick Legend. Henry outside there, just begging on the street with 24 points. I mean,
needed legendary volume to get there. If
he's getting legendary volume, he's legendary running.
Okay, but can he hold up for the 16 games, Joe? Do you think it's going to happen? With getting like 30 touches a game.
You think Christian McCaffrey's going to hold up for the 16 games, which is for 2 years, or the 17 games now, for the 2 years in a row. That's obviously not the case. So we've seen it 2 years in a row, but yet that well, you're willing to go back and be like, nope, all sins are forgiven. Come on in, Christian McCaffrey. Come on in. You're welcome here. There's the buffet. Go get a plate. Go get this barbecue sauce on the side and this ketchup, mustard. You got the relish. You got all the things. Anything you want at the barbecue, but Derrick Henry can't come in the barbecue. Derrick Henry's not even allowed. He is outside just smelling the barbecue. You won't even let him in the first round.
I'll make him a to-go plate. Like, I'll hand him that on the way out. It's fine. I mean, I have no problem with that. But you are absolutely right. CMC is getting the special barbecue sauce, the homemade edition that's hidden in the back of the refrigerator. So all the schmoes that just line up at the door when they smell the barbecue in the neighborhood, you know those people. Mm-mm. Derrick Henry is not getting that. That's saved for CMC, baby. I'm giving him the good stuff, the homemade sauce. He's getting the special elixir. Because you know what? He deserves it. He deserves it. There are smarter people than I in the fantasy space that cover injuries and things like that, that really like have gone over all of Christian McCaffrey's injuries over the last 2 years and have subscribed to the fact that it is more fluke than real substance in projecting him forward.
That is hilarious because it's all fluke of what? His body not holding up to the grind of what the NFL is, which was everybody's concern with him as an entity, as an asset, which is why he was drafted where he was, for God's sake. And I'm not trying to say Chris McCaffrey's not a great football player. So make no mistake, he's a great football player. But I just don't understand how everybody's so forgiving of Christian McCaffrey, not once, but twice. But Derrick Henry misses half a season and everybody's losing their mind. Like, that's, I mean, last year, Derrick Henry almost played as many games as Christian McCaffrey has in the last 2 years. 10 versus 9. Then we'll move on. Let's go to Cooper Kupp, who is number 5 right now overall on Yahoo and Fantrax, actually. Cooper Kupp is 3rd overall over Derrick Henry and Christian McCaffrey. Actually, let's go to Andrew Erickson. I've had enough of you for a while. Let's go back to Erickson. Erickson, Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp. Where do you have him ranked? Because I feel like it's so difficult for him to repeat what he did last year, just because that's the anomaly of NFL, right? It was magical. It was great. Doing it 2 years in a row is really hard. Like, you have those guys like Antonio Brown that went on that 3-year run that was like that, but it is typically really hard to get there. Do you think Kupp can get there? And do you think that ranking is a little too high based on last year and not enough about realistic expectations this year?
Yeah, I think that you're trying to move away from a legendary season because it's not repeatable. Like, he basically broke all the records last year, and that's why he's going as the number one guy, because he was number one last year. But like you mentioned, not since Antonio Brown have we really seen a receiver kind of duplicate his production. And specifically, look at Kupp, I mean, it's the touchdowns again. Like, of the 5 wide receivers that have caught at least 16 touchdowns since 2007, they've averaged 6.5 touchdowns the following season. Only 2 guys, Devontae Adams and Randy Moss, were able to get double-digit touchdowns the next year. So when Randy Moss caught 23 touchdowns, we all know, even if Brady had stayed healthy the next year, there's no way he was going to catch 20 touchdowns again. He caught 11. So 11 is still really good, but it's not, 16, 17, 18 like what we saw from Cooper Kupp last year. So I don't even have Cooper Kupp as my wide receiver 1. So I'm not taking him.
Neither do I. Derek, do you have Cooper Kupp as wide
receiver? No, I had Kupp up there as early as last week, and I've since flipped it. Justin Jefferson's my wide receiver 1 for the year.
Yeah, I've got Jefferson, and it's tough there.
Yeah,
I want to put Chase ahead of Kupp for a lot of reasons, but so far I don't want to disrespect Cooper Kupp. At the same time, I guess that's my problem, is I feel
they're paid very nicely. This is fantasy football.
Okay? I mean, right now, like, all my ranks currently, I've got Chase ahead of Kupp, which I know is probably unpopular in the consensus.
Is that
again,
half point PPR or full point PPR?
It's in the half. It's okay. In the half. In the full, I can understand Kupp in the full over Jamar Chase.
That's
and
fair.
I think that's a fair delineation between them. And look, there's good questions here. So again, the consensus top 6 guys: Taylor, Eckler, McCaffrey, Henry, Kupp, Cook. That's what we have. So let's move on to the next grouping here, 7 through 12. This is where we start to really get the guys. Here's Justin Jefferson at number 7, which I feel great about. I will take Justin Jefferson as high as 2 overall, because I am a madman who would much rather start my teams with Justin Jefferson and then 2 running backs, or the best wide receiver that makes it back to me and a running back. And I'll figure out RB2 later. I don't care. To me, that's the dude. And we're putting him all at 7. And I think we're doing him a disservice. Erickson, talk to me about Justin Jefferson. Do you want to make a case for him higher than 7? Because right now that's where the consensus ADP has him.
Yeah, I mean, he's 3 for me. Like,
yep,
confirmed.
So, okay, so you're not, right, very good. Okay.
So again, I know we're talking bad about, guys like Derrick Henry and Eckler, which means that we have to talk about good, because there are guys that are leaping them in our ranking. So that's why I want Justin Jefferson. Like, that's who I want, because I'm looking at trying to catch the ascending player before his breakout season, before his legendary season, because we don't see players repeat it, but we see players that put up all the right peripherals that indicate, hey, Justin Jefferson, hey, he's pretty good. Like, the first 2 years in the league, he's basically broken every single wide receiver record.
Right.
Now he's in a more pass-friendly offense. And, his head coach is like, yeah, we're going to put him in the Cooper Kupp role. Oh, yeah, the Cooper Kupp role was really good last year, right, guys? Like, a lot of touchdowns. And unless Adam Thielen goes out and catches 15 touchdowns, like, for the 3rd straight season, we're going to see the regression go to Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson. So that's why I'm drinking all of the Justin Jefferson I can to get him. And yeah, I want to take him at number 3. I would even debate, depending on league format, I would take him at number 2 as well. And I think this is something I didn't get to hit on with the McCaffrey thing versus Taylor, but just something I want to mention is, look, you have to take into consideration what your league is like. Remember, it's really about making the fantasy postseason. If you only need to beat 5 people, that's why I like Jonathan Taylor, because it's like, I don't necessarily need McCaffrey's like 26 fantasy points per game for 10 weeks to beat 5 people. I just need him. I want him in the playoffs. And I think Taylor versus Christian McCaffrey of who's available in weeks 14 through 17, I think it's a non-debate who's more likely to be there. It's Jonathan Taylor for me. And Taylor, mm-hmm. I don't envision a team ever, oh, we're going to shut him down. I don't think so. The Colts are a team that's in the playoff hunt. Carolina, yes. though, Carolina mm-hmm. could be a total dumpster fire. They're like, no, what? Got to put McCaffrey in could the chamber.
Be. Could be.
yeah, could. Exactly. So, but Jefferson, I think, just has the upside to be, you know, the wide receiver one. So I have him ranked as a wide receiver one. He checks off all the boxes in terms of last year, weighted opportunity. He was number one in the NFL. So factoring in air yards, factoring in red zone targets, he was number one last year, even during Cooper Kupp's legendary season.
All right. Let's talk about Justin Jefferson with you, Derek Brown. Do you have him higher than seven in your ranks currently?
Yeah, he's the third overall player for me.
We all come together at the barbecue. We could all sit down and eat the ribs now.
Yeah, we're all passing around the secret sauce, man. I mean, look, Jefferson is that dude. It doesn't matter whatever efficiency metric you look at, how you parse out his production, he's that dude. And we got a small sample of what he could do for maybe the entire season this year, last year with Adam Thielen out. He was gobbling up targets. Like, nobody could stop this guy. The only hindrance on Justin Jefferson was Kirk Cousins. So if we have a better offensive system, maybe the offensive line gets him a little bit better protection this year. I mean, it's wheels up for Justin Jefferson. I think he can absolutely crush. I mean, and we're talking about difference makers. He could have that type of Cooper Kupp season where he is touching 25, maybe 26 points per game. And you're staring at week six and you're saying, oh, why did I draft Derrick Henry over Justin Jefferson? Mm-hmm. Oh, why did I do that to myself? I just want to make sure
people don't misinterpret.
This wasn't directed at you per se.
I feel a little triggered, but no, it's it. I would not do that. I've already been very clear. It's funny to me, D-Bro, though, that like, I feel like the thing that's holding people back from really embracing Justin Jefferson as a top three pick is Kirk Cousins. Yep. But he's thrown 1,400 yards to him in his rookie season and 1,600 last year. Yeah, you'd like a little bit more touchdowns, but touchdowns can be variable. And the Vikings mm-hmm. last year were in so many close games. Every game with them was like three or less every single week. It was so bizarre. You hope that they fix some line issues. You hope that the defense is a little bit like there's some things in there, but you almost don't want the defense to get too good because you want the shootout aspects here. You want things to open up a little bit maybe in this offense, and maybe it will under the new head coach. But it's so funny to me that Cousins is the thing that hangs people up about Jefferson. Meanwhile, the last 2 years, the yardage total has been insane. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Pristine Auction. PristineAuction.com is the most trusted sports memorabilia auction site with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating and auctions over Pristine Auction starting at just $1 each day. There's over 1,000 autographed items available, so you can get signed, authentic, signatured items at affordable prices. And just last week, an autographed Justin Herbert jersey sold for just $110. What? Deals like this are happening all the time on PristineAuction.com, and they've got just about every player you could want, including Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and many more. Every item on PristineAuction.com comes with a certificate of authenticity from the industry's most reputable authenticators, and you can upgrade your collection of signed memorabilia today and get $10 off your first item whenever you use that promo code FANTASYPROS. Again, that's one word, FANTASYPROS. Be sure to sign up now because there are deals ending every single day. Again, that's code FANTASYPROS for $10 off your first piece of signed memorabilia at PristineAuction.com. And now, back to the action. Najee Harris is number 8 overall, and I feel like people are just settling here. This is my problem, Derek, when we get to this range in the first round where people are settling. They're like, well, he's fine. He's good. He's going to get a lot of opportunities. The offense isn't great. The offensive line isn't great. He's a great player. Let's just settle. I would much rather have Chase, personally. I would much rather have Jefferson. He's already mm-hmm. ahead of him. But Najee Harris is 8. Do you think people are settling for Najee Harris?
I think it's a volume play. I like Najee. Like, I have him at 7th overall right now. And yeah, he's in a range where you're really just, you're picking, where am I going to go? Am I going to go safety in the first round? Am I going to get my guy? Am I going to go upside? What's your approach for the first round? I don't have a problem with Najee. No, I think Najee is a league winner in the sense, could he be RB1 overall, considering the context of the Pittsburgh Steelers offense, their offensive line, how bad it is? Not really. But do I think that he's got a pretty good case just based off of volume, pass game usage?
to fall inside the top three or top five based off of just the volume, and he's going to be the engine of this offense. That's possible. So I'm in line with consensus on Najee. I won't have any problem with anybody drafting, like taking an upside shot on, like, say, CeeDee Lamb or somebody like that, or Stephon Diggs or somebody over Najee. I have no problem with that. And yeah, just to be clear, I have Dalvin Cook as number six overall. So I have Dalvin above Najee. I love Dalvin. Like, yeah, if you're making bets outside of CMC or Jonathan Taylor for the RB1 overall in fantasy, Dalvin Cook is where I'm going to push all my chips into. And I will take him early. I will take him aggressively. Hell, I was out there in the streets like I was like 2 years ago when he was coming off of the ACL surgery. And people were like, how could you take Dalvin Cook at the 105? How do you think he's a top four, top five pick? And then he goes out and he goes legend mode on people. And he's the RB2.
His
and
rookie I'm like, season, I had all the shares. His second season, I had all the shares. Like, I've been a Dalvin Cook guy for years. In college, I loved him. I know the knock on him in college was he fumbled too much. And I was like, well, that's
well, fine. Then his combine wasn't good.
And his combine wasn't great. Yeah. I'm like, look, I watched a guy play at college. He's pretty good at football last time I checked. This could be really special. But you said something really interesting there, which is you said, can he be a league winner? And I think Dalvin Cook, the answer is yes. I think Justin Jefferson, the answer is yes. I think Jamar Chase, the answer is yes. Najee, I have a tough time getting there. Do you have a tough time getting there, Andrew, with that? The answer is, or I should say the question is this guy a league winner in the first round? Do you think Najee is the answer?
Well, I think with Najee, the interesting thing with him is if no one else is like the league winner, then Najee is by default like the league winner. The kind of fault he kind of like kind of like how Elliott I was
being six RB overall last year.
Yeah, well, and not to shade, kind of like Jonathan Taylor last year, like 22 points per game is good. But is it great? Yeah. Just saying. I don't want to shade Jonathan Taylor too much, but just throwing that out there.
No, it's a valid argument, but there is. So when you're playing this game, we play it on a week to week basis. But at the end of the day, when you have the running back that scored the most points overall, like not points per game, there is merit and value to that. Like that does matter. Obviously, it's less of a problem when you have the waiver wire and you're not just taking zeros. I think that in like the best ball format, I think it's kind of interesting. So for me, Najee is someone that's super safe, super secure. And, you know, if I'm doing a hero RB approach, like he's the guy I'm probably pegging. I feel the most confident that he's probably going to play all the games. Like he's still young. It's only his second year in the league. So I look at him as like Derrick Henry, you're talking about the volume play. Okay, then what's like the massive difference between him and Najee Harris? You know, both Alabama backs, like both can carry a ton of volume. Okay, like, I'm not thrilled about the Titans offense, not thrilled about the Steelers offense. I know Najee has a better role as a receiver in the passing game. So I just kind of see Najee as almost like a cheaper version of Derrick Henry with less wear and tear. And both guys kind of getting similar amounts of volume. And then at the end of the day, you look at their production, you're like, oh, wow, it was like pretty similar. And Najee Harris was just a guy you could get at the back end of the first round instead of, you know, in the top five.
Yeah, it's interesting conversation, that's for sure. Let's move on the list here. Jamar Chase is at 9. Joe Mixon, his teammate, at 10. Again, these are in the consensus. So, Andrew, how do you parse these two? To me, obviously, you already know I always land with the wide receiver, but looking at upside and league winning, Joe Mixon feels kind of safe. Jamar Chase feels like the dice roll that could win it all for you. That's how I look at it. But how do you look at these two on the same team and going back to back right now in the first round?
Yeah, I would definitely lean towards probably Chase here as well. I think that the shooting for the elite wide receiver, because there are not as many. It's weird to kind of think this way, but I think that there are actually fewer like elite wide receivers than RB1s. I don't know if that's a hot take or whatever, but you know, Joe Mixon is going to be good, but Jamar Chase could be great and fantastic. And Mixon, for some reason, sometimes is actually available like in round two because people just kind of like don't like him, even though he was RB3 last year and nothing's really changed about his situation except that they have a better offensive line for the Bengals. But with Chase, it's, dude, this guy could, again, put up 1,800 receiving yards next year and score 20 touchdowns. You know, the Bengals could throw the ball more next season. And then you're like,
well, the lines improved. That was a big problem last year.
Yeah. So I'm so for, because also too, you know, when you're talking about, you know, in round one, if I take Chase in round one, just knowing all the drafts that you've done, you've been in the draft or the draft wizard, and you know that you can get a running back not too different from Joe Mixon in round two. Whereas the drop off at wide receiver, I think you're going to see a significant downgrade going from Chase to the wide receiver that you draft in round two, whether that is like a CeeDee Lamb, if he's there available, if you're picking at the back end of round one, I would much rather have Chase plus a round two running back versus Joe Mixon and CeeDee Lamb.
I think that is the perfect way to put it, which is comparable guys to Mixon around the corner. Once you get past, you know, Adams and Diggs, who probably go around the turn. We'll get to that in a second. There is a drop off from Chase, obviously. It's a big one in terms of, and this is why tiers are so important. This is things like relative position value so important to understand like where the dip is. And this is why when you go to fantasybros.com, you see the rankings, you go and look in our ranks, we all have tiers. So you understand where the drop off is and how you really have to take that into account, like how far apart some of these guys are. For you, Derek, I'll put the same question to you. Chase, Mixon, is that the same order for you as it is in the consensus here?
I don't want to say Grand Canyon, but Chase is, he's the fifth overall player for me. I got Joe Mixon down at 16. So if we're going to talk about how big the divide is, yeah, it's huge. And there's one thing that I want to illuminate about Chase's game that we saw down the stretch that I think we could see more and gives him another added element to his ceiling. You have a lot of wide receiver archetypes, guys that can win deep and win down the field. It's very, very few wide receivers in the NFL that can not only win deep, but also are just absolutely elite after the catch. Cooper Kupp is like that. Mm-hmm. Jamar Chase is like that. You look at his yak per reception numbers, and they are off the chart. We saw Chase, especially in the playoffs, used more in the short areas of the field, and he was creating plays for himself. So if Cincinnati says, look, we can win deep, and people are going to say, well, he's got to regress because they're going to go deep and he can't be that good deep. Oh, he can be just as good and add the other element after the catch this year and just blow the league apart.
Yeah. I'm with you. Chase to me is a league winner potentially. So Mixon at 10, then we get to 11 and 12 with the turn Devontae Adams, Stephon Diggs. I don't think anyone really wants to argue this order. Is this the same order you would have them in? I know you have CeeDee Lamb in this conversation, Derek. Would you have Lamb over Adams?
No, I have it's Adams, Diggs, and then Lamb for me.
Okay.
And a lot of it's just, I mean, Adams and Diggs are going to get ridiculous amounts of volume. I mean, honestly, Diggs, if he wouldn't have been so unlucky in touchdown department, things like that, you compare his last two seasons and how many end zone targets and things of that nature, like high value targets he got last year, Diggs could have easily been, if things would have bounced right for him, could have been in the Devontae Adams conversation of being a league winning wide receiver last year. It just didn't work out.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, last year he had more touchdowns, ironically, than 2020, but 300 less yards year over year. So that was kind of the difference between Diggs' 2020 and 21 season. Andrew, how about you when you look at these last two, Adams and Diggs? Is that how you would close out your first round as well, and Adams over Diggs?
I have Diggs over Adams. I don't think that's
why?
Because he has a quarterback that we've seen him play with before in the NFL. Like, I mean, why are we taking the risk with variance? You know, we don't know.
Well, you guys are taking it with McCaffrey, who now he's playing with a different quarterback.
I mean, yeah, but the quarterbacks never
matter.
That's
a terrible thing for me to say at this juncture in this podcast.
The quarterbacks never matter with McCaffrey, though. Like, he's played on horrible offenses, and it has never really mattered who the Panthers quarterback has been. But I think it matters that Devontae Adams has a downgraded quarterback, and Stephon Diggs has the same quarterback who also happens to be the best one in fantasy in Josh Allen. So I don't know. Like, what make the argument for Devontae and Derek Carr over Diggs and Josh Allen?
Well, I'm going to make the argument of the talent of Devontae Adams is extraordinary. I think Diggs is a very good wide receiver. I think Adams is special. I think that's the only difference. So to me, it's not that he's working with a quarterback he's never worked with for the first time either. I mean, if you go back to college
days, yeah, it was like 10 years ago.
You know what? I know you might not care about it, but like, you know, there were some ridiculous numbers they put up in that conference. I mean, what was it, like 21 touchdowns they had in one season together? It was nuts.
Yeah, so, I know you were watching it, stroking your hair while you were watching the Fresno State highlights.
It was a long time ago. And I'm old enough to remember that, and I'm old enough now to buy back into it. Whereas, you know, if we want to keep buying into the progress of Gabriel Davis and that guy that you have that you keep touting behind you, if he's going to step up into that void and be this number two who's going to challenge Diggs, there's a world where I feel like Andrew Erickson said this. There's a world where Gabriel Davis becomes the new Stephon Diggs. I don't see anybody becoming the new Davante Adams on this team. This is a spicy show today. You could tell we were all like rested over the weekend.
I felt that slight, Andrew. I felt that slight about the hair, man. I got some ricochet off of that. Just being honest.
10 years from now, I'm going to look the same. That's all I'm going to say about that. 10 years
I've
ago,
I said it, Joe. You're the Paul Rudd of fantasy football, man. We all keep getting older and uglier, and you just look the same every single year, man.
Analysts keep getting older. I stay the same age. That's all right. But Erickson, so you're again obviously not feeling the Derek Carr Davante Adams connection. You're just buying into the Buffalo Bills ecosystem, correct?
Yeah. Well, I have Davante Adams still five. So he's just behind Diggs. Like, I just think that Diggs and Josh Allen saying, are better. Okay.
Whatever. All right, let's get to some other questions here. Andrew Erickson, give me the name of a player who you think is going to be in this first round next year that's not being drafted in the first round right now.
I love this question, and it's DeAndre Swift for me.
I figured where you were going.
Actually, that's actually wrong. It's Javonte Williams. Because for some reason, I always overlook Javonte Williams. I always forget to say his
name. Both of them are on my short list, too.
Javonte Williams.
I'm glad you remembered that he played football today.
No, I know. I actually, it's funny. When I was writing these down, I didn't put Javonte. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Duh. Like, he's literally the
easiest.
Yeah, because
I was
going to
pound you on that, dude.
Yeah, because he was already ranked as a first-round pick before Melvin Gordon signed there. So all that has to happen is, you know, Javonte could have another productive year, be efficient, maybe not be an RB1 because of Melvin Gordon, but the Melvin Gordon leaves in free agency, and then he's in the first round next year. So Javonte, I think, is so clearly going to be a first-round pick next year unless he gets hurt or something like that. But besides him, based on like situation of how the team is structured, I would put Swift in that conversation, especially in PPR, because if Swift stays healthy, Swift has a bigger red zone role in a Lions offense that I think is ascending. Really great offensive line. Jared Goff is a fantasy football running back's like dream at quarterback, a guy that doesn't move and checks the ball down a ton. So Swift is the best player on the Lions. And I think that if he's featured, stays healthy, I think he could have an Austin Eckler-esque season from last year.
Javonte and DeAndre are my two. I would also, throw in CeeDee Lamb as a possible guy too that could get in that conversation. And this is another reason why I'm so comfortable taking the early wide receiver, because I feel like that second or maybe even third, if he slips that far back around on the turn, where you get Javonte potentially, where people are just so unsure. Like, that's a risk I'm willing to take because the payoff is so huge. And I've already got Jefferson or Chase or Cobb that I can afford to take that risk. I have a little bit of that weekly floor but just a little bit higher than everybody else's team. Are those the names for you, Derek, or is there somebody else? I mean, I'm waiting for you to say Saquon Barkley, because I feel like that's what you want to say.
Well, Saquon might be in the first round before we even finish this draft season, the way his team is going.
No.
So, Javonte and Swift were the top two names, but I've got a three pack of players that I want to bring up here.
Okay.
Real fast. Michael Pittman is definitely a name I want to discuss, because I think that if he garners this 25-26% target share, Matt Ryan is still in town next year, maybe the next two seasons after this one, then I think Pittman could make it into that case. I mean, look, like, we're talking about Stephon Diggs, we're talking about Davante Adams. I mean, if Pittman gets that type of target share, he's the only show in town, pretty much. He could be there. And really, two running backs that we've been talking about in mock draft episodes, and really why the running back dead zone is kind of a fallacy right now. Travis Etienne and Breece Hall could easily be in the first round next year. I think Breece Hall could get there because I think that people are sleeping on how good the Jets offensive line can be this year. I think they could be a top 10 run blocking line. Hell, last year, Joe, over the last, I think it was like 6 or 7 weeks of the season, they were first in yards before contact per attempt. And all they did was go out and get better this offseason. Like,
that
getting Tomlinson in there. They still have McGovern. I don't even care if Becton plays or not, because Max Mitchell is a freaking stud. He is going to be a mauler in the run game.
All right. Quick question here, too. I don't follow up on this. Travis Kelce's kind of on that fringe. Are you guys, I mean, I'm not of the mind of any of the tight ends in the first round, but you, I think Derek said you had Kelce at the first round still, correct?
I do right now. I could see him still there. It comes down to, I think there's some other players that are shifting around. Like, if we see these five players we talked about, he could get pushed into like the early second round walking into next year's draft.
Erickson, if you're in one of those leagues where you get to pick your first round draft slot, as a lot of people do, you know, year over year for a myriad of reasons, different leagues work different ways, where if you finished last year, you get to pick your draft slot this year. Where would you pick? Where would you want to be drafting in the first round? Or your draft spot, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, I think that picking first has its merits because you get to pick the best player, in your opinion. Mm-hmm. And I know it hasn't worked out in the last couple seasons.
I was going to say, except it hasn't worked in three years, right?
Yeah, right. But like that has nothing to do with, oh, just because, you know, those guys got hurt. I mean, it's just that doesn't necessarily mean Jonathan Taylor is going to get hurt because McCaffrey got hurt last year. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there's really anything. You get to pick the best player. Like you can have the number one overall pick and pick Justin Jefferson if you want to. Like
and
no
I
one's
might.
There's no stopping you. And also if you were holding these draft slots, I know I'm in a league where I have the number one overall pick. I picked it and I can trade it if I want to. And you're, so you're mm-hmm. holding a lot of value, I think, with the number one overall pick. And if things change during the the preseason, I can change my mind too. And then ultimately I decided to go with the wide receiver, Justin Jefferson. I felt, you know, safest about that. I can change my mind. Whereas if you're at three, oh no, like now he's going to be gone by two. So I think that one still has a lot, but I think for me, I like the middle. So around probably like pick five, where I know that I can lock in one of the Vikings, basically. It's like Justin Jefferson or Dalvin Cook. One of them should be there. Lock one of those guys in.
All my notes.
And then I just love, you know, the running back or receiver I can get in the middle of the second round. And it kind of flows together really well. And then probably thirdly would be looking at the turn at the end. I think that one of the best PPR starts I ever have are always when I have to pick at the end, when I'm picking 12, 13, I go Diggs and DeAndre Swift in PPR. I'm just like, that was easy.
Or Diggs
like,
and Adams is a hell of a way to start. I agree. I think if you're down at the bottom, the double dipping of those two giant wide receivers, if they're there, if not, what you're saying, go with Swift and one of those wide receivers out there. I'm with Erickson. It feels like D-Bro, you're in the same spot. That middle where you're basically guaranteed one of those big wide receivers or Dalvin Cook seems like a really good spot to be in.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're reading off the same page, except we didn't compare notes prior to this show.
Considering how much we've disagreed, I think it's good that we can come together at the end.
I literally have the 105, and I have the three players that you should get one of Chase, Jefferson, or Dalvin Cook at that spot. One of them is going to fall to you, and I have no problems taking whoever is there. So I love the 105. And then I also like, if you're looking at the next 2 to 3 rounds, kind of like how that kind of falls after the 105. I mean, there's just a lot of smattering of players that like I fall into this range that I like. Like in the second round, maybe I get Barkley, Evans, maybe the third, I get like somebody we're talking about. Like I can get Pittman or maybe Akers is there. It's just, it works out really well when you're at the 105, 106 range where you can get one of these top guys we've been spreading all the love about, but then how the draft kind of falls from there and walk away from say the top four rounds with two really good running backs and two really good wide receivers.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
All right, good strategies here. We're going to wrap things up with a listener mailbag question right from our Discord channel, which again is free to join, but if you go obviously premium at Fantasy Pros, and you can right now at fantasypros.com/offers and get 12 months for free by just making a little deposit on one of our partner sites there, you have access to our AMAs. This is pulled right from our AMAs. We have the stages too, where we chat about your teams with you. I've been running mock drafts with all the people all week here, and I will all August as well and the rest of July. This is from Josh Gator Fan 1. How do you decide when your head says to leave your home league because of its wacky rules and scoring, but it being really frustrating to play in, but you know, it's been your home league and your heart's telling you to stay, basically. That's the thing. Look, real quick on this, my answer is this: if it's no fun, I'm done. I don't care who's in it. If people don't want to, you know, come to reality about scoring and have a league that makes sense, and people want to do weird things for the sake of being odd and without purpose, if you're not having fun, don't do it anymore. That's fantasy football is supposed to be fun. 10 seconds. Derek Brown, tell me your thoughts on this. When you're in the home league that you've always been in, but you're not enjoying it anymore, do you walk away?
The purest answer is yes, I'll walk away. The real answer is if it's soft and it's easy money,
I'm staying. My God, such an assassin. Andrew Erickson, 10 seconds. What do you do in this situation?
Well, it also says he won the league last year. So I say walk off into the sunset, man.
That's right. George Costanza leave on a high note, which is what we're going to do. Also, we hope you enjoyed the show and the debate. I know I did. This was a great show. My favorite so far that we've done. Derrickson will be on tour all season at Fantasy Pros, and you can check out all their work at fantasypros.com, all the articles and everything that they're working on. And of course, on the YouTube channel, all the videos the three of us and the whole team have been doing as well. And when you subscribe to our YouTube channel, don't forget, we've also got the Fantasy Fest coming up in August. It's going to be amazing. We've got huge guests coming up on all the podcasts. And every time you click that bell for notifications, you know exactly when a new piece of content drops. All the videos, you can actually win a CD Lamb autographed jersey over fantasypros.com/contest. Thanks to our friends at pristineauction.com. Again, get yourself an opportunity by subscribing right now today to our YouTube channel, and then go to fantasypros.com/contest and enter to win today. I'd like to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Pristine Auction. Head over to pristineauction.com today. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. Get $10 off your first order when you use the promo code FANTASYPROS. Again, get that cool jersey, that cool piece of sports memorabilia, and get $10 off on us. Use that promo code FANTASYPROS. And don't forget about Air Medcare Network. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/FANTASYPROS and use the offer code FANTASYPROS. No matter where you are in the game of life, an Air Medcare Network membership is the protection no one should live without. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Derrickson, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/FantasyPros.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.